This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The second and fourth stanzas of the hymn we just sang read as follows. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, faith sees a smiling face. Blind unbelief is sure to err, and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. So how would Jesus respond to the following statements common in our culture today? Jesus never said that He was God. The Bible never condemns the practice of abortion, so God doesn't condemn it either. Jesus never mentioned homosexuality, and so God is obviously fine with it. God is love, and so there is no hell. The Bible says you shouldn't eat pork or shrimp. The Bible says that God helps those who help themselves. The Bible says you can't work on Saturday. The Bible says you do have to do good works in order to be saved. The Bible supports racism and slavery. In response to all these statements and many others that are common today, Jesus would say, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead, judge correctly. In today's gospel reading from John chapter 7, we're going to learn that it's so easy for us and others to form our own opinions about God and other issues without actually bothering to find out what God Himself actually teaches. Now, sometimes people form opinions about God and other issues without even looking at Holy Scripture. Others form opinion about God and other issues and then try to find a passage that supports their way of thinking, but then they take it completely out of context and twist it and distort it to fit their own point of view. The solution to this problem is for us to study Scripture carefully, allowing Scripture to interpret Scripture, and then, especially, to see the main purpose of Holy Scripture, which is to lead us to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, from sin, death, and hell. For example, in our first reading, Luke says the following about the Berean Jews. He says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. In addition, Scripture teaches that faithful pastors should use Scripture to rebuke false teaching and to make sure that God's people know the truth. For example, in our second reading, the Apostle Paul says the following to a young pastor named Timothy. Listen to this. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. With great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And even though this was written almost 2,000 years ago, how well it applies to our culture in America today. My friends, our sinful nature desires to hear what it wants to hear rather than submitting to the truth of God's Word. As long as we're in bondage to this sinful attitude, we can't have a relationship with the God who loves us. Therefore, what does God do? He uses His Word to expose our rebellion, and then He moves us to trust in His Son, in whom we are forgiven and in whom we know God's truth that sets us free from the lies of the devil. With that said, today's gospel reading is the first 31 verses of John chapter 7. Now, if we're going to understand what God is teaching us here, we need to understand the wider context. First, in John chapter 6, which, by the way, I preached about in December, we learned about the feeding of the 5,000, that miracle where Jesus took a few bits of fish and bread and multiplied them into enough to feed thousands of people. That happened, by the way, during the Jewish Passover. Now, after that miracle, you might remember, Jesus rebuked the people. Why? Because they wanted Jesus to keep on giving them food rather than seeing the feeding miracle as a sign. A sign that Jesus was God and that he had come to give them something far greater than physical food. Jesus then goes on to make two important statements in John chapter 6. First, Jesus taught that he is the true bread that came down from heaven. In other words, in John 6, he's claiming to be the very Son of God. Secondly, in John 6, Jesus taught that he will offer his flesh for the life of the world, pointing ahead to his death. Also, he taught that those who believe in him will one day eat his body and drink his blood, referring to the Lord's Supper, which Jesus would later institute for his church, and which we will have today as a blessed gift from the Lord. Finally, John chapter 6 ends with these words, "From this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed Jesus." "You do not want to leave too," Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Now, the events described in today's gospel reading from John chapter 7, they take place 6 months after the events described in John chapter 6. How do we know that? Well, we know this because the events in John chapter 6 took place during the Passover, and the events in John chapter 7 take place during the Festival of Tabernacles, which was about 6 months after the Passover. Now, at the beginning of our gospel reading, we're told that Jesus is preaching and teaching up north in Galilee. You see, Jesus didn't want to go south to Jerusalem because he knew the Jewish leaders wanted to kill him and it wasn't yet his time to die. But Jesus' brothers urged him to go to Jerusalem during the festival and reveal himself to the crowds as the Messiah. And then John notes that Jesus' brothers did not believe in him. Now, why did John say this about Jesus' brothers if they do believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Well, the reason is that they had their own opinion about what the Messiah was supposed to be. The reason John says that they really don't believe in Jesus is that, like most other Jews, they believed the Messiah was supposed to be a political revolutionary. They wanted Jesus to use his miraculous power to defeat the Romans and to give the Jews a nation of their own. But my friends, that's not why Jesus came into the world. Even though John the Baptizer proclaimed that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, many ignored what John and Jesus taught, and instead they believed what they wanted to believe about Jesus. In any case, Jesus' brothers end up going to the festival, and Jesus stays behind in Galilee. However, he does end up going later on, but in secret. John then tells us that the people in Jerusalem had various opinions about Jesus. Some hated him. Others thought he was a good man. But very few actually wanted to know the truth. Well, Jesus eventually ends up at the temple courts, and even though the people don't yet know who he is, he starts teaching the crowds. And because they know he's from Galilee, which is a podunk town up north, they wonder how this uneducated man could have so much knowledge. Now please note, they still do not yet know that this is Jesus. Well, Jesus then points out to them that the reason he knows so much is that he was sent by God himself, and that he is bringing glory to God by teaching his word faithfully. After saying this, Jesus does something the people don't expect. Jesus accuses them of sinning against the fifth commandment because they want to kill him. Now they're shocked that Jesus accuses them of this. They want to know why he's thinking this way. Well, at this point, Jesus reveals that he is the same Jesus that the leaders want to kill. And why do the Jewish leaders want to kill Jesus? Well, if you remember our gospel reading, Jesus refers to one particular miracle that he performed a year before. The time he healed a man on the Sabbath. You see, not only were the Jewish leaders angry because Jesus was working on the Sabbath, but on top of that, Jesus said he could work on the Sabbath because his Father works on the Sabbath, and thereby, Jesus was claiming to be God himself. In fact, we can read about this event back in John chapter 5, which I preached on several weeks ago. Let me read you a little bit from that section of John 5. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jewish leaders tried all the more to kill him. Not only was Jesus breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. With that understood, in today's gospel reading, Jesus goes on to point out that the Jewish leaders are willing to work on the Sabbath. How? Well, they perform the rite of circumcision on the Sabbath. But why do they do that? Because God's word gives them permission to do this. So what's Jesus' point? Well, if they're willing to perform circumcision on the Sabbath because God's word permits them to do this, then why would they be angry with Jesus? Because he is God. And if he wants to heal on the Sabbath, he certainly can. Well, after saying this, Jesus then says, "Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead, judge correctly." In other words, if they actually trusted God's word rather than their own opinions, they would not be angry with Jesus, but instead they would repent and trust in him as their Lord and Savior. Now at this point, some people finally realize that this is the very Jesus that the Jewish leaders want to kill. But they're confused about something. They're wondering why their leaders don't say something against Jesus. Jesus is making all these statements in condemnation of them. They're wondering why the Jewish leaders don't say anything back. Well, some wrongly think that maybe the Jewish leaders have actually changed their mind about Jesus. Now they actually accept him, they're thinking. But no, the fact is the Jewish leaders don't know how to refute Jesus. That's why they don't say anything. They don't want to be proved to be ignorant of the scriptures. In any case, some of the people do end up rejecting Jesus. Why? Because we're told that they believe that when the Messiah appears, no one will know where he's from. Well, they know where Jesus is from. He's from Galilee. So if no one will know where the Messiah is from, how can Jesus be the Messiah? Well, that leads to a question. Where did they get the idea that no one would know where the Messiah is from? Well, they didn't get it from Scripture. You see, Scripture teaches that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So, if they had bothered to check out Scripture, rather than believing a popular rumor, if they had bothered to actually dig through the scriptures like the Bereans did, they would have found out that Jesus was indeed born in Bethlehem as the Messiah would be. But sadly, they were judging by erroneous human opinion rather than searching the scriptures for the answers. Well, after this, Jesus says that even though they know he's from Galilee, they must accept the fact that he was sent into this world by his Father. In other words, Jesus is once again claiming to be the eternal Son of God. Now, once he says that, how do they respond? Once Jesus just comes right out and says, "I'm the eternal Son of God," how do they respond? John writes, "At this they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come." Did you catch that? They wanted to kill him, they tried to kill him, but they couldn't. Why not? Because it was not yet his time. Here we learn that Jesus is in control of the situation, and he's not going to die until he's ready to die. Finally, we are told that there were some others in the crowd who believed in Jesus. Why? Because of his many miracles. But sadly, as we will find out later when I preach on John chapter 8, many of these people in John 7 who believed in Jesus because of his miracles, they end up rejecting him. Why? Because all they want Jesus to be is a miracle worker. They don't want him to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Because that means they can't force Jesus to give them what they want. Instead, they will need to repent of their sins and trust in him as their Lord and Savior. And they're not willing to do that. Now, with all that said, how does all this apply to us? Well, as I noted at the beginning of my sermon, we live in a culture where many people have various opinions about God and other issues, but they're all in error. Why? The reason is that they base their opinions on human reason rather than on the clear teaching of God's Word. And my friends, we Christians can easily fall into the same trap if we begin to trust in our own opinions and the views of this sinful world rather than allowing God's Word to shape our hearts and our minds. And so we need to repent. We need to repent of our ignorance of God's Word and then trust in Jesus who died for our sins, including our sins of believing the silliness of this world, including our sins of not taking time to be blessed by the Scriptures as the Bereans were. Yes, Jesus died for those sins too. We need to ask God to help us to follow the example of the Bereans who studied God's Word carefully so they could have the discernment to distinguish between God's truth and the lies of this evil world. My friends, that's why attending services and Bible class as well as reading Scripture on your own, that's why it's so important to do that. Because reading and studying and meditating on God's Word is a blessing to us in so many ways. Especially because the main purpose of Scripture is to lead us to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, through whom we have the forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life with God. In closing, there's a lot of opinions about Jesus and other issues in our culture today. How do we know what to believe? Well, Jesus gives us the answer. He says, "Stop judging by mere appearances and judge correctly." Well, how do we judge correctly? My friends, as we study God's Word, we will be blessed by God's wisdom. We will be given the truth that sets us free. But especially, we will be comforted by the fact that we have forgiveness of sin and eternal life in Jesus. That's right, when you study God's Word, the Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus, who is here today to say to you, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins." Amen.